And just like that, we're back. Welcome to the show. I'm Yanni Rude.
And I'm Just Terrell. You ever been out somewhere and overheard two people having crazy conversations?
Yeah, well, we are those people. We've been having these conversations since college.
Yep, it's the Regular Guys Random Thoughts Podcast, 90 Day Fiancé, Season 9, Couples Tell All, Part 2, Recap. And I'm so glad this is it.
You should have some more enthusiasm in your voice. I mean,
yeah, I'm glad this is it. I'm so glad this is it. So done.
19 episodes in, and here we go. Can you believe it's been 19 episodes? 19.
Yeah, 19 weeks.
But to be fair, they didn't drag it out like season 14 of Married at First Sight. Remember, they just kept dragging out with the, where are we now in the season? Extra episode. You know, they didn't do that with this one. They just went 19 straight weeks. Here it is. Let's get it over with. Let's get to it. And that's what they did. So here we are at the end. And before we get into the tell-all part two, picking up from where we left off last week, we got a shout out to Auntie, man. You know, noticed some comments in last week's episode, and said, you know, like one here from Peppa Potts, who's like, sent here from Auntie. Great job, guys. You got a new sub here. Then Vassy Vaz said, Auntie sent me. And Tina was like, I took Auntie's advice and listened. Y'all are great, and I'm a new sub. And we're like, who the hell is Auntie? And then I sent it to my wife, and within 30 seconds, and you know what? This is why women are such great private investigators, first of all, and why, fellas, you should never do anything wrong. Because within 30 seconds, my wife goes, oh, I found her. I'm like, how? And so she sends me the link. So it's Auntie's advice, and she made a post on her YouTube page and said, if you'd like to hear 90 Day Fiancé from two of the funniest guys on YouTube, check out Regular Guys Random Thoughts Podcast. Yo. Humbled and really appreciative of you showing that love, because that is pure love, something that you didn't have to do, and we really appreciate it.
Yep. Yeah, and definitely check out her page. I listened to her, and she even said she doesn't do a recap, she does a rant. And the things that she said about Jabri, or aka Sparkles, is hilarious. So definitely check her page out. But again, really appreciate the shout out. Definitely humbling, and much love for that.
Can't imagine what she's going to say about this week's tell-all, because, oh my God, there was so much to talk about with Sparkles and Jan. Let's start right there.
John even admits that he's combative, and I just, everyone loved the Sparkles deal from last week, and so I knew it was going to be fire at the start of this one. But, like, I didn't understand why Jabri went at John so hardcore. Like, where's that coming from? And then right. For Jabri to act like this tough guy when they're on break, I'm like, dude, what is your deal? Why? I don't see what you get out of that.
He was so pumped up, and it's like, maybe he forgot that he told us a story about David knocking him unconscious and putting him in a coma. Like, dude, you're not the tough guy. It's okay. I get that you're upset about it, what you saw on TV, and you just, oh, I hate bullies, and it just takes me back. It triggered something in him, and was obvious it triggered something in him. And so he just didn't like John. So he attacked John as soon as John came out. And John is one of those cats that when somebody is that calm and just like, yeah, you won't. Listen to that, Sparkles. Just you stay over there, Sparkles, you know. Had Jabri gotten crazy enough to get up and walk over there, we probably would have seen Jabri in another coma. Something tells me John would have whooped his ass.
Well, John is from Boston. Like, Jabri needs to watch that movie, The Town, and understand what Boston people are like. Because, I'm sorry, you're not hardcore from the streets of South Dakota. So, you're about to get your ass whooped. And here's the other thing that, and I think this is just that, I'd expect this from somebody in their late teens, early 20s. This behavior of, look, I'm going to knock you out. If you do this, I'm going to knock you out. The people I know that are going to knock you out don't say it. They just do it.
At all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They don't talk about it in broadcast. I'm going to knock you out. You're just trying to get all this hype around yourself. So, you know, I used to have a lot of respect for Jabri, but I lost it for him a lot during this tell-all. Like, this was a different Jabri. I was rooting for the dude. Now I'm just like, what's your deal?
Yeah, but you know what his deal is. He's all talk. No action. I will say this. When Tim and Kenny went to talk to John, and I'm like, no, we got to go talk to John. We got to figure out what's going on. I thought that really showed a human side to John. And it's something that I think you even pointed out before. And I think we've acknowledged it on the show before that, you know, John really loves Patrick, man. I mean, you know, that's that they weren't tight before, and now that they're adults and they're grown, and you know, Patrick went through his stuff with his last divorce, they have a stronger bond, and mm-hmm. there's that, right? And you can see he really loves Patrick, and he even acknowledged that he thinks Thais is real, that she really loves Patrick. So it's not like he thinks she's some gold digger or somebody who is just out for the green card. He knows that's not what the case is there. He knows it's love there.
Right, right. He does. And I have a lot of respect for their relationship. I don't have a lot of respect for Patrick because mm-hmm. Patrick is just way too non-confrontational. Now, I get John's, you know, combative. Get that. But Patrick, dude, you got to stick up for your wife and be able to say stuff. But then also, I'm not going to sit there and let somebody disrespect my brother in front of me. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to say anything.
Yeah.
Like, if you're going to be like, I'm going to knock you out, I'll be like, who are you going to knock out? Oh, my brother? Hey, Troy, come on. Let's go over here. some shit. Like, I'm not going to let someone just disrespect my family right in front of my
face. You got to knock both of us out.
Yeah. I just wouldn't let someone do that. I would have said mm-hmm. something. And, you know, Patrick just sits there and lets all that stuff happen. And I do think they have a really good bond. And there's mm-hmm. a lot of truth to what Patrick was saying about, you know, Jabri doesn't know the full story of their relationship without his dad being there and all that stuff. But, dude, sack up. Or maybe he doesn't have a sack after taking all the steroids. I don't know.
Well, remember, it was an empty sack for a long time. So probably a lot of that masculine energy disappeared with the sperm, too. But, you know, because you're right. He did say that, you know, John was more of his father figure because the dad wasn't there and all this. And I get that. But at some point, you've got to be able to say, hey, hold up. I'm not that little kid anymore. And I remember having that conversation with somebody who was an older person when I was coming up. Because they're going to keep trying you because they're going to keep seeing you as that little one. I'm like, hold up. I ain't that little kid anymore. Let's get this straight. So you got to approach me as the man that I am now. And Patrick needs to find out the man that he is. And maybe Thais can teach him that. So,
well, I mean, but that's so true. It's like, it's one thing if you don't want to say anything to John because he was kind of the father figure. I get how that could be hard. But that still doesn't justify you sitting on your ass while Jabri is trying to talk trash to your brother.
Right.
But, and maybe Patrick knew that John could take him, so he's just not worried about it. But still, I would have said something.
Because even if Patrick had gone, Jabri, that ain't the smoke you want. Trust me. Even I don't fight his ass. And I bench press him for breakfast. You know? It's like, but I will say, look at Bilal coming in after the break and saying, you know, being the adult, try to calm Jabri down.
Yeah, wisdom. Wisdom. That's that alpha man wisdom.
I knew you were going to say that. Jesus, I should have skipped right past that. Why did I even bring this up? What's wrong with me?
Yeah, I have some positives to say about when we get to Bilal. But with Jabri's whole energy. And I'm so tired of this light and all that bullshit. I want to bring light and sending love and light. I mean, people that say that just annoy me.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, he's got nothing else to really say. Well, you said you had some positive to say about Bilal in this case. Because, you know, they really were the focal point of today's tell-all. But I do believe that they, and actually probably him specifically, got the most out of this entire tell-all situation.
I think so, too. I'm thinking that, and I think a lot of us, we have a way that we see ourselves. But then when you get a chance to watch it and, mm-hmm. you know, maybe he's watched himself on the show and how different people responded to him. Maybe he's taking some of that in and realizing that he has some work to do. I do respect the fact that he didn't go to Jabri's level when mm-hmm. Jabri was saying that they weren't going to make it. You know, he didn't. I love that.
That was the adult in him. I thought that was very good.
Knowledge of. I was like, wise man. And then when... who's the host again?
Sean.
So when Sean was asking everybody about how they're having sex, Bilal was like, we're blessed. And I'm like, right on. You don't talk about your sex life with your wife.
Ain't none of y'all business.
It's none of y'all business. Just say, hey, we're blessed. You know, so I have a lot of respect for him and how they did that. Shy, on the other hand, she kept throwing shade when Kobe was like, well, I'm scared to have another baby. She's like, you should come talk to him because he knows how not to get a woman pregnant.
And you know what, though? But she's right, because he kind of danced around a bit on some of the stuff like, well, you know, I kind of convinced her to want to have a kid. No, that's not what it sounds like. And that's not what you portrayed on the show. And you're right. When it comes down to the things that you say that he may have seen himself on TV. And that's what, I don't think seeing himself. I think it's the reactions he got from people online, which he probably was like, whatever, that's just people online. But when he was sitting in that room with all the other couples and hearing people really talk about him in the manner that he thought it was just, oh, that's just social media talking. I think once he was confronted with actually himself, an actual look at himself, not just what you see on TV, because, oh, well, production edited that. Hearing other people talk about it. And yeah. I think that's kind of, and I love Shida's response to him coming to that, having that breakthrough, because with her just standing like, I'm here for you and we need to get here together. And the fact that she broke down crying, I thought, like, Jabri doesn't know what the hell he's talking about. They're going to make it, man. They're going to make it as long as, you know. Until she finds out that he's had the vasectomy that he just hasn't told her he had yet. Because he seems too confident. He's like, yeah, I'm potent. But you know what? We handle the business, and I know how to not get her pregnant. Snip, 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 snip.
Well, but I think kudos to Shy, because she says, if I stay silent, I don't want to be like your last marriage, and I walk away.
Yes.
And
all shade to Shahida.
Yeah. And I think that hit home for him, because he has to really think about why Shahida left.
Yeah.
And a lot of that probably, and I'm sure there's two to tango. So I'm sure that there's some things Shahida did, but she was the one that filed for divorce. He didn't want to.
Right.
He has to understand there's a reason she did not want to be with me anymore. And I don't want to make the same mistakes with this wife.
Right. Exactly. So, you know what? I'm rooting for them, man. You know, I was not a Bilal fan from the very beginning, from the stupid ass prank that he pulled when this whole thing started. I have not been a fan of his at all this entire season, all 19 weeks. And it came down, it was like a round of golf. You know, you had a bad game the entire time, bad round of golf. You get to the 18th hole, you hit a great shot. You're like, fuck it, I'm coming back. And that's how I feel with Bilal.
I think you just didn't like Bilal because he was an alpha man. And I'll admit, I didn't know he was an alpha until might have been like episode 2 or so, when I saw it on the wall. I'm like, oh, okay. But even still, I'm like trying to take my bias aside and still listen to him. And I was still annoyed with a lot of the stuff that he was doing. And I'm hoping that they can be together if he makes the changes. And that's the thing. It's not easy for a man to change. And especially for a man in a power situation, because he has financial power over Shy right now. And so it's going to be hard for him to change. But if he can do the work and get the help and be open and be vulnerable with her, I think they could actually work out.
I agree. This couple seems like they're lockstep together. You will never think of her as the quiet person, but she knows how to be quiet and let her man be him. And you know, I'm talking about Jabri and Miona. You know, you could call Jabri Sparkles. You could call him Mr. Shots Fired, because he pretty much put it out to everybody. Everybody's going to make it except for Bilal and Shida and Ari and Benny. He just kept firing shots. He did not stop. He started from the beginning of the first tell-all and carried it all the way to the end of this one.
See, I used to think that Jabri was pretty mature. But after watching him on part 2, instead of Sparkles, I'm going to call him Sparklet, because he's like a little baby. And just an immature baby. Just an immature baby, just the way he handled it. You know, from the beginning, when he was going after, when his reason for going after John is, I don't like bullies and da da da, yet you proceeded to bully everybody, you know, on the show. So, and again, props to Miona, because I do think Miona is smarter than what the show showed everybody, what the producers actually put on the show. So I think she's pretty solid. But I don't understand why Jabri would shade Bilal and Shy after Bilal was trying to help you.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, it's one of those things where when he did that, I was like, oh. And again, shows Bilal's maturity because he's just like, whatever. You know, you know not what you speak of, you ignorant imbecile.
These are not the droids you're looking for. He put a Jedi mind trick on.
This is not the smoke you want.
Because Bilal's from Kansas City. He ain't going to take that shit.
But I will say, look at Jabri showing some level of maturity at some point throughout the show when he was like, you know, I should have listened to Miona. I mean, like, it was the experience in South Dakota was good for us, but I should have listened to her and we should have gone straight to LA. But you know what? I think in the long run, it works out in their favor. For one, it works out because it gave them a storyline on the show. But two, it worked out just because I think, you know, adversity in a relationship early kind of helps build character and understanding throughout the relationship. It either is either going to strengthen it or it'll implode, one of the two. So I think it was good for that. But what I thought was really disappointing was hearing that he hasn't spoken to his parents since. Like,
they said he hasn't seen him. He hasn't seen his mom in 6 months. Didn't say he's not spoken to him.
Okay.
Said he hadn't seen him.
Okay. Hadn't seen him. Now, I mean, here's the thing I have about that. Because in today's day and age, you can see somebody easily. FaceTime. And he did FaceTime her when they went to Joshua Tree, remember?
Yeah. True. And maybe, who knows? Maybe he did. Maybe he was saying, I haven't seen him in person in 6 months. Right. Don't know. You know, I can't imagine that. Their relationship seems too close for him not to talk to her, you know, right. But to go back to what you were saying is, I think the reason they stayed in South Dakota, cause he couldn't afford at the time to go to LA. Cause if he had the money and he could, he wouldn't have stayed at his mom's house. They still would have had to show, you know, but I think he had to do that. And it benefited them to save up some money to be able to go on this, but this whole, we're going to be nomads and just kind of, you know. And I'm wondering where they really live, because the way Miona was saying it, I feel like there's a little bullshit in that Palm Springs story. Like, it's like, are you staying in Palm Springs or are you in a trailer parked in Palm Springs? And you just got to drive around. You know, I just find that weird. Like, how do you, if you're not, and again, I don't know his financial situation, but just travel around, be nomads. That requires some income.
Well, you know, so the thing about, remember, we did see on his IG that he actually is in business with David and the trucking thing. So, you know, past what they showed on the show, he's got revenue coming in at some sort of income coming in at somewhere, even though they may be parked next to a palm tree and drinking spring water. So hence, palm trees.
Could be, but I'm wondering if you see the whole blow up or interaction between him and Davi, I'm wondering, is this just for the show and they really have this business together and they just kind of put this front on, you know, because I find it, how do you, if that's real, if that whole animosity they had towards each other is real, how do you still work together? I mean, I get it. Kobe, Shaq, they had their problems, but this is not the NBA. This is something totally different. And I just thought that was interesting. And then for Jabri to say that the band was dead weight. You know, he felt the band was dead weight. And that's what I was just like, dude, do you hear yourself?
And the thing about it is, and this is where, when they asked, does everybody feel like the, like Miona broke up the band, right? Kobe was right and wrong at the same time, right? Because he goes, yes, it totally was Miona that broke it up. But then, like she said, no. If it wasn't me, it would have been somebody else. And she was
another Miona.
She was absolutely right. Yeah, and she said another Miona, but I'm just like, basically what she meant was it's not her. It was Jabri without calling Jabri out and saying no. Jabri was just done with them anyway. There was already frustration. There were problems there. If it wasn't her, it would have been somebody else. And I think she's absolutely right. And Jabri's also kind of right. I think David looked at it and said, this girl can't love him because of just him. It's got to be because of something else. And he may be right, too. They could all be right. But at the end of the day, they're there. They're together. You got to at least support your friend. And not everybody's going to be like, okay, automatic. Oh, I just got engaged, so I'm going to tell y'all immediately. Y'all were already having problems before that, so you can't blame Miona for that. And I think that's where that rift between Jabri and David kind of started, because David tried to make it seem like it's about Miona, why Jabri separated himself from the group. But it sounds like you said, they were dead weight. So he didn't know. He was ready to break away anyway. So it kind of explains why he didn't invite him to the wedding.
But David, I feel, was right in saying that, hey, Jabri, if that was the case, you felt we were dead weight, all you had to do was just say that. Yes. Instead of just taking off. That'd be like me all of a sudden, like, you're like, Terrell, are we going to, we need to record. What time are you ready? I'm not going to record this week.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then just like not give you any answers. And you're like, mm-hmm. what the hell? And I just actually go ghost. And I feel like that seems like that's what Jabri did. And, yeah. you know, maybe that's what love will do to you. I don't know. Got that good, good. She put that Siberian husky on him.
Weak men have been taken down by stuff like this for a long time. The Trojan War started all because of this. Helen of Troy, Jesus Christ. Miona of Serbia.
Yeah.
So Jabri said he was, you know, he was triggered by John because of the bullying, and then proceeded to bully Ari and Benny. Like Benny couldn't kick his ass. But as we switch over to Ari and Benny, did you see Kobe's reaction when Benny mentioned the Ethiopian community and how it felt like home? He said,
Kobe kind of leaned in. He's like, tell me more.
Tell me more.
Tell me more of this land.
Where is this oasis in this desert of America?
Well, there, the Ari and Benny thing. So I was surprised to hear that, you know, Benny's in Vegas, Ari's in Jersey, the mm-hmm. whole go to Ethiopia for 3 months thing. So remember, we were talking about them and how they need to make money. And they mm-hmm. had this 2-bedroom apartment that her parents had. She wasn't really working. She did that deal on Instagram where she was selling stuff and just saying people can come buy their stuff and can meet her and Benny. How do you just go to... My goal was to go to Ethiopia with the baby for a week, but we wound up staying for 3 months.
Yeah.
Somebody is funding, all right, probably her parents, or somehow she's getting money.
That's what she's been doing from the very beginning. Remember I told you that she was, like, when she met, what was the ex-husband's name again? I've totally forgotten his name.
Diego?
No, something else.
I don't know.
Yeah, he's we don't condone his behavior, his even inclusion on the show, so we've both forgotten his name. But she was in South or Central America, and on an excursion, right, with her mom, on a mission trip, and they were doing that there. And then that's how she met him. How she met Benny was she was in Ethiopia doing the same thing. So her doing that is not surprising. If you followed their journey along the way, you realize that's not surprising to hear that she's doing it. You're right. Somebody is funding her, but that's why she's never had a real job. When they came to the States, they have no idea what it's like to have money. It's not just on Benny. She's never had to work.
Yeah.
She's never really had to work. I did freelance work. Yeah, that's because your doctor daddy is taking care of everything for you.
And if that's working for her and her family, that's their business. But, and then the whole blocking Benny, like, I don't think they're going to work out. And for Benny to even say, if there was no Avi, we wouldn't be married. Now, what I really wish they would have done for this Couples Till All is have someone translate for Benny. That way Benny could speak his mind in his language, and then it mm-hmm. could be articulated to the rest of us. Because you couldn't really...
He has a hard time with
the English part, and so you can't really judge him too much on what he was saying.
Right.
I think he said the words wrong. Kind of like we were talking about Kobe when he knocked off... when he knocked off Emily. So I wish they would have had someone that could help him with the language barrier, but Ari blocked his number. You're in Ethiopia.
Yeah, I mean, okay.
There are a couple things
you put in there all at one time, right? So let's attack them one at a time. The blocking, yes, you can't do that. But those are the games they play, right? I mean, this is the same woman who goes, well, you know, I really don't want to be in a committed relationship. I want to be married, but I don't want to be. But then she's jealous as crap. So she's she doesn't know what she wants. The same thing, like, she's mad that he blocked her, so she blocked him. Oh, but he didn't even notice anyway. Well, it's because he's not going to... And then she even admitted, like, the reason is because he called her and it's not working. He's like, okay, well, the service is probably not good where she is right now. But her, on the other hand, would be like, oh my God, he's with another woman! You know, so... That's the difference between the way the two of them handle those situations. But she's playing games. And let me tell you something. When you decide to get married, the game's got to stop, because that shit is only going to make people like Jabri say, y'all ain't going to make it. And yeah. I understand what Jabri's saying in that. Now, at the same time, what Benny was saying, to go to the other part of what you're saying, with what Benny's saying as far as, you know, they're married, they're still together because of Avi. He's absolutely right. But here's the thing. It sounds harsh. It sounds callous. But he's saying, if it wasn't for Avi, I wouldn't be putting up with this bullshit anymore. Are you kidding me? Do you know how crazy this woman is? What you see on TV is only a piece of it. Do you really think I'd still be here? That's all he was saying. Because he goes, and she made a point to say, we've been working in our relationship since. We love each other, but we're just bad at communicating. And that's what he was trying to say. It's like, look, yeah, if Avi wasn't here, deuces. Right. I'm out. But he is. So I'm here because I already lost my first son. I'm not losing my second son. I'm not doing that. I'm going to be here. Which is also why I understood, if we're not going to get married, and you don't want to be with me, that's fine. But get me the green card so I can still see my son. I totally understood that.
Yeah, I get that. I totally get it. It just, it sounds bad. When you say it out loud, it sounds bad.
Still sounds bad. I made a great case, but it still sounds.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds kind of bad to say it that way, but yeah, very true that he needed to be there to be with his son, but he's not really with his son anyway because he's in Vegas and she's in Jersey or Ethiopia or wherever other country she's going to take him to. So,
or Colombia.
You know, I'm not too sure about that. But you're right. The whole game playing and all that drama. Mm-hmm. I think that's just who Ari is.
Mm-hmm.
I can't say it's Benny. Now, Benny's problem is he's non-confrontational. He's a Patrick.
Right.
And I'm like, you're an MMA fighter who's non-confrontational. Like, you let Jabri talk all that smack to your wife right in front of your face.
And laugh at them at the very end. So disrespect. He should have just got up and he should have did that spider monkey kick from the top. And caught Jabri in the head. Now that's how they should have ended the tell-all. That's what they should have done. That shit he did in the MMA ring, that's what he should have done.
Just choke Jabri out real quick, make him tap out. But I mean, how do you not say anything to Jabri? And I like how everybody got on him about not sticking up for your wife in front of your sisters. I remember the wine in the face, but I forgot it. And to see it again, I was angry for Ari.
Yes.
At that point, I'm just like, oh, yeah, I forgot that happened. And I'm just thinking, like, man, if somebody threw wine in my... No, I just couldn't. He never stuck up for her. And so...
Ever.
You know what I mean? So I just...
And okay. It's part of that, because he's a baby of the family. Because I want to say, and correct me if I'm wrong, anyone, but I believe when we were first introduced to him in the other way, she actually called him Baby and not Benny, because his nickname was Baby. Right? Because he's the baby of the family. You know, he's the youngest, so they take care of him. But at the same time, you still got to be able to, you're a man now. This is your fiance. This is the mother of your child. No, you cannot disrespect the mother of my child. And they're absolutely right in the fact of, what's her name with Guillermo again? Cara, yeah. Who was like, how dare you tell her to say goodbye to them? When they threw wine in the face and never apologized. No. Are you kidding me? And he's got they're absolutely right. He needs to, he goes, oh, well, I could say that, but I don't. No. Then don't say you could if you're not going to.
Mm-hmm.
If you could, you would. Coulda, woulda, shoulda. Do it. Yo, you cannot disrespect my wife like that. I don't care that you don't like her. For the sake of my child, for the sake of me, if you have any respect for me, you're going to respect my family. Period.
You're 100% right. And that's just not who Benny is. And I don't think he really cares.
You know, facts.
I mean, I don't think he really cares. I mean, Benny is, and pretty much what it seems like, Benny, it's always been about Benny. and what mm-hmm. Benny wants to do. Now, he loves his son, and I'm sure he loves Ari, but he's also mm-hmm. focused on what he wants, his dream, the MMA thing. Maybe we'll be seeing him on Saturday nights as one of the cards for all the MMA fights you like to watch.
But, yeah, I don't watch a lot of MMA. I'd rather watch boxing. And to be quite honest, that $1 million a fight, yeah, that ain't happening because they don't pay those people a lot. I'll be honest. They don't pay them the money that boxers make. So,
but hoping for him. But, yeah, you know, as wrong as Jabri was for calling out that Ari and Benny aren't going to work and Bilal and Shai,
mm-hmm.
I agree with him.
Yeah, he's got a point.
I always go with my gut. My gut's never wrong. They ain't going to work.
He was such an asshole. Emily and Kobe. And of course, when she talked about encapsulating the placenta, I was like, huh? What does this actually mean? And then she went and told it. And I'm like, okay. And to be fair, she looks a lot, because she said she lost the baby weight. She looks a lot better now than she did when the show started. No comment, huh? Okay, cool. Nope. So on to the next.
No comment on that, I think. Hey, Kobe loves her. That's all that matters. You know, so. And so there's that. I'm not going to touch that one. But Kobe loves her. That's all that matters. But I thought that, I was going to ask you, like, hey, did y'all do this whole encapsulate the placenta thing? And then I'm like, tell me y'all didn't get some placenta.
Well, actually, remember them ribs you had?
What is in this barbecue sauce? It is so good. Hey, glad you asked.
I like Guillermo. We're not cooking that shit in my kitchen. No. No.
I'm just like, how do you cook it? You know, what do you season it with? So many questions.
It was an interesting conversation. I like the fact that they had it. And you can see the other mothers like, especially when she said she lost the baby weight. She feels this. She was this. And they were just like, oh. And her explanation of it was very good. Because I never understood it before until her explanation was on point. Like she was, the only thing she didn't do, and she probably did it and they cut it out, was the name of the place. Like she did it like she was cutting a spot, a commercial. Like, because of your nutrients. And I'm like, now, Emily, you ain't never studied anything that goddamn hard before. So.
No, I'm glad she explained it because it makes total sense. So I get it. And you have to be honest, man. Their kids are super cute. Their kids are really cute. So definitely happy for the four of them.
And glad that Kobe got to be there for the birth of his daughter. I mean, to be quite honest, it's great that he wasn't their first son, and he couldn't be, right?
Right.
But to be there, especially when, you know, dealing with the Oedipal complex and understanding that the daddy's girl aspect and being a hashtag girl dad, for him to be there for her being born, look, I know that feeling is amazing, and I'm glad that he was there. And hopefully, Emily actually allows him to be a parent and stop, you know, trying to oversee him. And I'm purposely using oversee here.
Well, I really want to know what raising children in Cameroon is like, because it seems like as soon as you come out, they just kind of put you to work. They said, you know, with the whole breastfeeding thing. And he was like, he doesn't need that to live. I'm like, Kobe, what are you talking about? The baby does need that to live. You know, he just didn't want the baby sucking on the breast, I guess. But
no, he was saying the baby's healthy enough.
In Cameroon, like, apparently they eat all kind of nuts at any age. There's no threat of them choking. There's no choking hazards in Cameroon. Or if you don't make it, what do? You just well, this one didn't make it.
Not strong enough. No. let's be honest. What he said was he is big enough because he was 17 months. He's big enough, and it's not like he needs it to keep growing, is what he was saying, right? And I think that's, again, the cultural difference is like, you feed the baby until the baby's healthy, go and then move on. And I'm assuming here, because obviously I've never breastfed a baby in my life. these weren't meant for that. But, the fact that Ari said that she still breastfeeds as a comfort, as a pacifier at 2.5 years old is still kind of, but then again, Ice-T's wife still breastfeeds their daughter, and she's like 105. So, I mean, but she's actually about 5 years old. But this grown-ass child who can have a job is out here on the teeth.
She's just getting something like in her coffee. Hey, mom, come here real quick.
Yeah. I'm off to college.
Yeah. Just top me off, would you? Just top me off.
Why is it powdered milk now, yeah, mama? Yeah, when you go back to when he first got to the States, and it still doesn't make sense to me why she wanted to keep him away from Coben in the first place. You know, and why she think giving him them bloomers? Because that wasn't lingerie; those were bloomers that she gave him in the car. Like, yeah, let's have a night together. And everybody's like, "Oh, now I understand." Hell no, I don't understand, because her explanation was not good.
Mm-mm. But I did make note. When that episode happened, I said it on the show. If she would have told him, here's the plan.
Yes.
When you get here, we're going to do this, then we're going to do mm-hmm. this. Because it kind of, I get why she wanted to have that one night with him. Understand. But if he knew that before he got on the plane, he even said he would have been fine with that. And I called it out. She just would have told him that.
Yeah.
Because he's expecting to see his son in the airport when he gets off the plane. And then it's okay.
Tell me something.
Oh, is it in the car? You leave in the car? You know, maybe in Cameroon, they do that.
Did you leave the window down a little bit so you could breathe?
All right, mommy, be back. I'm going to go get daddy now.
Pull the car around, baby.
But if she just would have been honest and said that in the beginning, I think he would have been fine. So,
yeah.
And I'm glad that Kobe confirmed that, but that was weird. But in a way, I kind of understand. But were you surprised that they're still living at her parents' house?
Yeah, but yes and no. And here's the thing I made a note of. Why is Kobe working, then coming home and taking care of the animals? Because remember, she was like, he can get all the overtime he wants, and he can still come home and take care of the animals.
Yeah, because when you got a strong black buck at the house, you just don't let it sit around.
When Coben turns 5, he'll be out there helping with that shit too.
Kobe, when you get out of work, I need you to go back in the yard and break down that shipper room.
Yeah, how about the fact that they asked about Sean is so out of place for asking the parents about the about their sex life, but it was funny as hell.
Oh, the dad's response: our house is soundproof
because this one right here is a screamer.
Yeah, yeah,
and they had to soundproof that bedroom a long time ago.
But I'm glad that they didn't say what it was that he gave.
Yes.
Kobe, because I think it's reality TV. There's so much of it's out there. That was a special thing for you. And we'll never know whether it was money, whether it was whatever.
Whatever it was, you know, it was very sentimental. It meant a lot because Kobe was ready to cry again. His eyes look like Stasha's real quick there. Like he was about to let it go again. And I thought that was very touching. And I felt that moment. Mm-hmm. So I'm like you said, I'm glad he didn't say what it was.
Yeah. So I'm glad. But I was surprised that they're still living at the house. Hopefully they'll be out soon. Maybe Bilal can teach Kobe some real estate. Because they're in Salina.
You know what? You know. They're right there, yeah. And they did talk about it together. Like, hey, we're so close to each other. We should hang out. And you know what? Maybe that is something that he could teach him somewhere along the way. And, you know, yeah. So I'd love to see that happen, man. Most memorable moment, he didn't say it in this one, so I'm going to paraphrase. So are they at least paying rent? Shit, I wish.
Okay, but did you hear Emily? Well, you know, we buy groceries and I cook.
Yes.
And he still helps. It's like, no, is the paying rent? Are you handing them money? You know, I can't say, hey, Yanni, I'm going to come live with you. I can't pay you rent, but here's what I'll do. I'll help buy some groceries. I'll wash dishes. You know, I'll vacuum. I'll help out around the house, but I need to live here for free.
Yeah, nah, bro. Nah, bro, we good.
Thought we was close. Apparently not.
Yeah. Well, we got a limit. There's a time limit. We ain't in college no more. Even Muhammad, you know, watching that whole session with Eve's friends and Muhammad meeting for the first time, so frustrating all over again.
It was. I think that her squad was intentionally inappropriate with Muhammad.
Yes.
Because they knew they were going to offend him. And you can tell that he was still bothered by that. Yeah. And I agree, like, Eve should be like, hey, don't ask my man about his sex life. Like, could you imagine if you're like, hey, Terrell, this is my girlfriend and we're going to get married. Oh, cool. Are you a virgin?
Well, to be fair, that probably would have been the last thing you said in that conversation, because it'd be hard to talk without your teeth.
Exactly. It's just like, who? And I agree with Muhammad. I mean, here in America, and, you know, I'm very sex positive. I think it's okay to have these conversations. Yes. But it doesn't mean that you force those conversations on other people. If you're around other people and they're all mutual agreed to be open and have that kind of conversation, and you know you can talk like that, great. I have friends that I can say inappropriate things around, and it's okay because they will say even worse inappropriate things. But there's also some friends that I would never cross that line, because I feel like that would be disrespecting them. And I feel like that's what they intentionally went out there and did.
Muhammad said it best when he goes, you didn't learn anything more about me by asking me those questions.
Exactly.
I was like, and did you catch this? Tatiana tried to bring that WWT energy with like, you're coming at me really aggressively.
Yeah.
When she said that triggered me so much that when she said that, I would have never been in her presence again, ever. Now I'm like, you go hang out with her if you want. I'm not going. There's no time that she's around anywhere and there's any conversation we have. And I commend him. But me being the person that I am, once you come at me with that and I know that's in your mindset and what those words mean, I'm good. Mm. You'll never hear another aggressive word out of me. Not hi, goodbye, or anything.
I don't really like when people do that, because I think there are men who can be aggressive. Mm-hmm. But I feel like sometimes women use that as a defense mechanism. Say, hey, you're coming at me pretty aggressive. It's like, no, I'm coming at you because you pissed me off and you disrespected me and we're having a conversation.
Purposely.
Yeah. And you purposefully did it. But I'm not trying to be aggressive towards you. So I think she did that. And when he was trying to talk over her, she tried to do that. So are you going to let me finish? Thank you. I mean, it was so condescending. Because
you can just talk by yourself then.
Exactly. It was so condescending. But I think Tatiana needs to let it go. You know, she's, I get it. This is, Eve's your friend and you have her best interest in mind, but she has to let it go and move on. But then also Eve does too. Eve has to be able to be like, hey, ladies, time out. No, we are not having that conversation. And I don't appreciate that. You know, and Eve never did that. And Eve never said that she was wrong. Even on the deal, she never said, hey, you know what? You were wrong for coming at him that way.
And to be fair, and I'm going to skip a part so we can come back, but just so we can stay on Tatiana, when Eve came and got Muhammad out of that room and to talk with Tatiana, Tatiana didn't really apologize. I don't think her apology was genuine, because she was like, well, she had other things that then finally said, I apologize, but that was so fake. And then was like, she's still holding on to them being called stupid and weird when they were in fact being literally stupid and weird. So,
and that was a language deal. And I think that maybe she, when the show, before it went to break, maybe she realized, crap, I bet they're going to make me look like the ass on here, because he came and extended the olive branch first. So now let me try to clear my name out, because you saw how she thought she had the gotcha question of the day. Let me ask the other couples, if your partner said they wanted to get another sponsor, how would you do? Like, she thought that was going to be the rallying cry where everybody's going to be like, yes, girl, we're with you. It's like the other couples are like, no, we've had those conversations. Like, they're right. They want to get to work. They're impatient. They want, and that's what Muhammad wanted to do. He wanted to work.
I like how everybody, especially all the immigrants, jumped to his defense about that. Like, yo. And like Guillermo said, when you're working 6 days a week and then all of a sudden you can't work at all.
Yeah.
No, of course you want to work. There's frustrations. Jabri was like, man, Miona's been on my ass about this. Are you kidding me? Of course. And then, of course, you know, he had to jump on the other side and go, well, why don't y'all fill out the goddamn paperwork?
I was like, wait, you at home all day. You ain't working. Fill this shit out.
It's a lot of paperwork. Why don't you fill this shit out? Because I can't read this shit.
Yeah, I thought that was funny too. But I mean, I'm like, I get it. And if there wasn't a language barrier, you know, they probably could fill that stuff out. Mm-hmm. But
so no, here's the thing: it's not just a language barrier. There are a lot of things because the questions are in such a way that you have to be careful how you answer these things, right? And it's easy, a cultural difference. Because let's be honest, English is my first language. America is not my first culture. It was a culture shock coming here.
Mm-hmm.
So there, regardless of what it is, there's still differences. But even at the same time, maybe they sit down and do it together. But yeah, you got all the paperwork. You brought them here. You knew what was happening. And even with Eva Muhammad, that's why I'm so mad at her for constantly like, well, I still have to do all of this. You knew what you were signing up for when you went to Egypt to grab a right. man.
To grab a man.
Well, didn't she?
Well, she did. She did. Slide into people's DMs that are half your age. Sad.
Well, and look, and what happened after that? He started sliding into DMs with somebody his own age. I mean, as we found out, the unexpected turn of the tell-all is right at the very end when they say, after this, I want to know what prompted her to go in his phone in the first place.
I don't know. I think women's intuition. I feel like women just know. Mm-hmm. Somehow they're going to know. I don't know how, but they just know. And something made her say, you know what? Let me look at this. And I was disappointed in Muhammad because he comes across with this. In the way the show, the whole series went, the strong religious values type of person. And I think anybody who is this kind of strong religious, a lot of times there's some skeletons in those closets. And I was just shocked, but not surprised, because again, I said the age difference is going to be huge. You know, at some point, you know, you can eat prunes all day, but every now and then you want a plum, right?
You call her a prune.
You just want a fresh plum every now and then. You know, prunes are good. They're delicious, but sometimes just a nice, fresh, cold plum just right off the tree.
Oh, Jesus. Well, to be fair, culturally fair, maybe in his culture, he's allowed to have more than one wife.
I haven't heard that.
No, I haven't either. I'm trying to help you out, Muhammad.
Yeah, no, I haven't heard that. It's just, you know, Muhammad got caught. And now I doubt they will be able to work that out, because all of Eve's friends are going to be like, we told you.
Mm-hmm. Well, not only that, here's the bad part about it. He was talking about divorcing her after he gets his green card. That everything he's, you're right. Her friends are going to jump in, but she shouldn't let him back in. And I say this from this. Now's the time. You can't get an annulment, but start filing the paperwork the other way. But she's still going to be responsible for 10 years anyway.
Mm.
So regardless, you got to choose. Are you going to deal with this man who is going to go after younger women, which you should have known? The man is half your age.
Yeah.
And you pointed this out many times. So, and I hate to say you should have known, but.
Well, the sad thing is, and I have no idea how Eve is feeling, but I'm just trying to put myself in her shoes. Mm-hmm. You were in such a public relationship, which you signed up for.
Yes.
Yep. Thus, you have your Instagram channel. He has his. So there's a lot of subscribers, a lot of followers. Now, it's also a very public cheating scandal. It's one thing if mm-hmm. your partner cheats on you, but it's just, you know, your next door neighbor knows, or, you know, a couple people from the church know. But when hundreds of thousands of people know about it, that's going to be tough to deal with.
If you thought his DMs were lit before, whoo, now that they know he can talk dirty, his own. Ooh, tell me, talk dirty to me. They really going to be diving in, they're going to be dumpster diving in his in his DMs now.
Well, he didn't do himself any justice. I'm going to go to the attorney today. It's like, no, we got to wait to get your green card. Okay, yeah, you're right. I got to be patient. I'm like, dude,
yeah.
How is Eve going to forgive that?
She can't.
No.
She really can't. That, and that's why I say you either choose to accept it and say, we live here, we'll have an open relationship, or you just cut ties now, know you're going to be obligated, financially obligated to him for the next 10 years, and just go, I need to move on. Why? Because at the end of the day, you got to do it for your sanity and for your child. He is not in love with you. Now, he made a lot of efforts to move forward, as they showed in the first part of Tell All. And, you know, okay, well, I'm not going to worry about how you dress and whatnot, but this, it ain't, no, he gone.
Yeah, but we call that too, because it's cute and it's romantic now, but 20 years from now, he's 44, still mm-hmm. in some good sexual, I'm going to say prime, but still has some good years left. She's 68.
Got Tom Brady years left.
Yeah, yeah. She'll be 68 at that point.
Mm-hmm.
Don't know. She won't be able to back.
See, that's what happens when you don't think long term. You got to think long term. Yeah. You got to grow old together.
Yeah.
Y'all both got to start sagging at the same time.
Yeah, you can't come from the gym looking all fit and come home to the crypt keeper. You know, it's at some point you're going to lose physical attraction.
So here we are, finally, 19 episodes later, 90 Day Fiancé, season 9, it's over. What are your thoughts on the season, man? How'd you like your first foray into 90 Day Fiancé?
Did you say first and last? Is that what you meant to say?
That is not what I said, but, you know.
So it's a... I can't speak for all the other ones. I've never seen it, but I think this one was... knowing that these couples had already been together for a long period of time mm-hmm. and, you know, a couple of years in most cases, I thought that their conversation seemed to lack depth, or maybe they just faked it to create arguments mm-hmm. on the shows. I just can't imagine that Bilal and Shai talked that long and he never mm-hmm. did a video of his house and showed where he
lived. And people said that it was actually... that he had come out and said that she's the one that wanted to be on the show. I've seen articles on that where they said she wanted to be on the show. So they kind of knew they were playing along with that and the whole pranks and all that stuff. Some of that stuff was actually ideas that they may have fooled the production on it, or maybe production wrote that. Who knows?
Right, but, right. Yeah. So, I mean,
you're right. Some of the arguments did seem silly.
Yeah, just a lot of stuff seemed silly. So I felt like it was a lot of drama for nothing. Mm-hmm. I think the tell-all was more fun than actually watching
yes.
the show. Because again, with Married at First Sight, the couples are together. And so you can mm-hmm. see that they might not like each other or whatever, but it's the way they all mm-hmm. came on the show ready to talk trash to strangers that y'all just met today. Mm-hmm. You know, when y'all got yeah. to the studio, I just thought that was, it made it a little bit more entertaining because they would just try to call each other out on random yeah. stuff. And I'm curious what didn't make it to the show. Like what was said behind the scenes that we missed?
I did like the fact that they added that new twist of Tim and Kenny, and I'm sure they're going to do it with some other Pillow Talk folks as well, cast members, because I think it was great to have them, and it was like watching two shows in one, and I like that, just because you had that element, but then also somebody who are veterans who could say a couple things about it, and say the things that we were saying as we were watching it, like, yeah, you know, and then actually meeting with them individually, some of them individually, they didn't meet with everybody, or at least that they showed, and I kind of like that.
Well, do you think this is the last time we've seen John? Because it seemed like Tim and Kenny liked John so much. Like, we got to figure out a way to get this guy back on the show.
I'll tell you what's going to happen. I fully expect to see Patrick, Thais, and John on Pillow Talk. Totally expect to see them there. Pillow Talk is Married at First Sight, isn't it?
No, Married at First Sight.
No, Pillow Talk is not a fiancé.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't believe I know this.
So
I can't believe I know this.
Yeah, see, look at that. That was a test. That was a test. That was not me getting it wrong. That was a test for you.
I hate you.
But yeah, I totally expect to see, because John is just, he is entertaining. They're right. He is entertaining. And they had the same thing happen before 90 Day Fiancé, where it was the two brothers, and they ended up doing the Pillow Talk for a while. And then that brother ended up running off. He was so mad at his brother for going to get this woman from overseas, but then he ran and did the same thing. Ran to another country to go do it. So who knows? John may decide to go to Brazil too.
Can't beat him, join him.
Exactly. Hey, I need to go find me an international bride.
No,
these American women are too aggressive.
I don't think John has the patience to learn Portuguese.
Hey, it's been a fun ride, man. I'm glad you you actually did take this ride with us on 90 Day Fiancé Season 9. I'm going to work on him, folks, for Season 10. We'll see. You know what? And we've had requests for Ready for Love. Not this season. It's already started. So maybe next season we can talk him into it. But, you know, of course, we're back every Thursday for the Married at First Sight Season 15 San Diego recap. And, of course, Mondays we drop our regular audio episodes wherever you listen to your podcast. And then on Tuesday, we drop the video. Tuesday evening, we drop the video on YouTube for the regular episodes. Interesting one. This week is going to be a good one as we take dumpster diving to a next level. Hey, I'm Yanni Rude.
And I'm Just Terrell.
Make sure you follow us at Yanni Rude, at Just Terrell, and at RGRT Pod.
Yeah, send us some of your random thoughts, some of the bullshit you find on the internet. We'll talk about it on the regular show.
It's the Regular Guys Random Thoughts Podcast. Cheers.
Cheers.